Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am back with my next guest, and he has a very special book. It is really unusual and absolutely delightful. I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Jacob Harvey Redlow, and the name of his book is The Queen's Adventure. Hi.
Well, hello, Patsy.
Okay, can I call you Harvey?
Absolutely. That's the preferred name.
Okay. Well, Harvey, this is fantastic. This, you know, I love poetry and I love history. I love sci-fi. I love illustrations because I love to draw myself. And you've got everything in this book that I love.
Now, that was a target I was hoping for most people.
Well, it is beautifully illustrated. It is a lovely story. It is unusual because you didn't follow any rules. You just said, I want to write this story. I want to get it down. And you did. And it's so much fun to read. It's not a very long book. And I want people to understand that when you get this book, you will be so amazed by both his writing and also by the lovely illustrations. You really found yourself a great illustrator.
Yes, I did. Alex Serrano, though he's passed, did a marvelous job on that and did artwork all of his life.
Well, it captures your story, which is, as I said, the name of the book is The Queen's Adventure. So how did you come up with the idea to do this? And as I said, you broke rules. That this is, people will say, well, you know, you have to write this way, or you have to write that way. But you just took all of the things that you enjoy doing and put it into this book.
Okay, so the simple reach on this was that I'd lived through most of the time period when these two figures that are the protagonists in the story survived. I've survived both of them now. And so I recognized the story as it was building. And when I realized I could write poetry, I discovered that this story hadn't been told by anyone else. And definitely not in the reverse, like I've written this one, where the protagonists are not visible, but what their effect in the world. And so I thought of writing that, and it just fell into place. The flow was just what came naturally, one line to the next.
And each page, it's just delightful to read it because, as you say, it flows. It really does flow. And that's the wonderful thing about it. As you're reading it, and I found, of course, I found myself reading a lot of it out loud because I love the sound of the words, the way you put the story together. And I was also thrilled that then you also did the Audible version yourself.
Now, yes, that was an interesting aspect. I had decided that I wanted to do that, and I'd been reading some smaller poetry, single-piece poetry for Instagram. So I decided I would go ahead and do this particular book. And it was just a pleasure to do that. And given that I have a bit of a varied voice, I can change it up considerably, I thought it was a good idea. And I even set up a sound booth in my home just to be able to do that book. It was fun.
Well, it is fun to narrate your own story, and you did it really very well because you have this passion for the story. So how do you want to explain to my listeners what they're going to discover from reading The Queen's Adventure?
Now, there's a good one here. What they're going to find is that the story carries through difficult times. It carries people through difficult times and shows how that people are affected and how it affects, and it doesn't stay the same. It's always changing. But while this is going on, while life seems to be degrading in some ways and building in others, some hope comes up for a change that had never been there before, something new that had just not been on the scene. And they find the story takes them from where they're walking through hardship to where the hardship has finally come to a close and rebuilding is occurring. So it carries a long way through the mire that life turns out to be, as well as the joy that it is as we pass.
This book is coming after years of, were you working on writing earlier in your life, or did you come to writing late in your life? How did this happen that you decided, I want to see my words on paper?
Okay, now that's an interesting one. I've been an artist in some form or another, whether it be with pen and ink, pencil, oil paint. And I had tried all of those art, and I stumbled when I got to music. Couldn't do that one at all. But nothing held my interest. And about 1981, a story occurred to me that I knew I needed to put on paper. Now, I didn't know how to write. Don't forgive me, but I didn't know even vaguely how to write. So I put all the information on the paper. And then 20 years later, I'm taking stories from other folks, writing small biographies, so that I can learn, get the practice of writing motion into my stories. And so I built that. I built the technique of writing up over the years, along with my reading. I've read thousands and thousands of books, not like you have, but thousands and thousands of books. Really good authors. And so while I'm not mentioning them, there's too many, like with you. Then I've rewritten the story 4 or 5 times. Then I set it aside again, volunteered with the church for a few years, and then came back to learning how to study at the church. And when I found out that there was something wrong with my study, and when it was corrected, poetry just bubbled to the top. It was like the stew was finally done, and so I could write. And then from there, I even challenged myself to writing a number of poems in a given period of time, more than 100, and was able to get 100 day to day without a break. You know, and it was a really interesting challenge to do that and have my life showing up on these papers that I've got in front of me.
Writing a story in verse, as you've done here, is very clever. It serves your imagination well. It is exactly what you got on paper is what you've imagined, and it is going to be so much fun for the readers to read this book. I think also inspiring to everyone that you don't have to fit yourself in one particular category. You don't have to say, I have to write like this, I have to write like that, or like that person or that person. You are an individual. You can find your voice, you can find your style, and just go for it, because I believe everyone should actually try to write a book at least, because one of the things that you discover, as you have, it is a craft that you have to hone, that you have to work at, and you get better. And then you get to the point where what you have now here is something that is really, it has so much style and so much individuality that it is stunning.
Well, thank you so much for that. I didn't expect those special words. I appreciate them. One of the things that I've learned in reading poetry and reading other genres of literature is that one can get stifled by form. And in poetry particularly, it's always led the arts of literature in that it built the forms that other people use. And so I wasn't afraid to step beyond and do something different than was standard. Though right now I'm actually practicing going back and looking at the older form and seeing how I can make use of those as well. That's always a growth into literature, into writing. There's always something more to learn, a new way to use the grammar, recognizing the correct way to use it.
What I like is that, well, certainly you've learned the grammar, I tell you. You're very, it's very well written. It's so enjoyable. And what I want to tell my listeners is you really can learn a lot from Harvey here, because Harvey has proven that it's never too late, and you can keep learning, you can keep going. Now he's written this in this style. He might write in a different style as he grows. Isn't it wonderful that no matter how old you are, you can still grow, and it's so good for your mind? In February, I had a guest, Eugenia Lovett West, and she was on my program, and she celebrated on Joy on Paper her 100th birthday. And
marvelous.
Yes, and that's what is the, really, when I talk about the joy on paper, that it gives you so much joy, getting your words down, sharing them, getting this opportunity to talk to people about your work, it's all part of having a richer and fuller life, isn't it?
It very much is. It very much is. One of the things that is true in writing a book or even a small poem is it's very rare that the author gets a recognition of what he's done. He doesn't get the effect it has on other people unless he speaks to a particular person about that. So I appreciate your feedback to such an amazing extent. Thus, it'll probably be months before I get someone else to respond and tell me what was right or wrong with the book. I'm sure I will get some of those. We all do.
But it's part of growing, part of keeping yourself mentally active. Now you have a really great book, beautifully illustrated, beautifully written, a gorgeous cover. I love the cover. It's really stunning. So now you have something to work with. Now you have something to go out there and meet people, talk to groups of people. There's a lot that goes on, you know, for an author. It's not just writing the book and putting it online. You have to go out there and promote it. And I hope that you can find the joy in that process, too.
I'm beginning that. As a matter of fact, I'm in the process right now of building the Facebook page for the book. And I also have a separate glossary for the audiobook website on Blogger that gives the glossary for that, like is in the back of the soft cover book.
I love that you put the glossary in the back of the book. It's really great. For all of you listeners, it's coming up to NaNoWriMo, which is the National Novel Writing Month. And that is an opportunity to write a novel with 50,000 words. And it's done mostly as a challenge. You take upon yourself this obligation to write a book in a month. But it doesn't have to be, you don't have to do an organization. You can just do it yourself, just like Harvey did. He set himself a goal to write so many poems in so many days. Sometimes you need that little bit of deadline. Writers actually work hard for deadlines. But it's good training, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a challenge. I mean, each day to come up with something new to consider and share, and then to sit down and put the words in, correct them, make it balance, establish the meter, make sure it's solid. You know, it's such an interesting aspect. And it was a growth, like I said, a growth cycle. I just enjoyed that, too.
You've done a marvelous job. And I like that you use the word solid, because it is actually a word that I always use when I get a book and I read it and I don't have to worry. I will say, this is solid. I know that the author knows what he or she wants to say and knows that they have that talent to put it down on paper and to share it. And it's a strength. When you use the word solid, it is something that is there. And you're going to, you know, as you said, it takes time to get recognition. You don't know if you're going to get recognition. But if you recognize that you've done something great, it changes your personality and your life.
Now, that is so true. Because the first one we have to satisfy is ourselves.
Exactly.
In what we say. And then if we can do that well and put it into the communication form, get it across, then we win.
And Harvey, you are a winner. Nowadays, perhaps the most difficult thing for an author is to market their work. And it is difficult to get out there. But doing the Facebook page, what other social media you decide to do, including a website. But in the end, so much of success in the book world is people to people, that you have to get out there and meet people, go to book events, talk to library groups, talk to women's tea party groups, get out there, and word of mouth that so often takes an author to a new level.
It certainly has that opportunity. I've actually done Toastmasters for a time in order to make it so that I could speak a little better, and it does help, by the way. And I wanted to bring up something to you regarding this particular book. it's not the only one. It's part of a series. I have the prequel to this already completely written and edited. It'll be being published sometime next year.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because then I know I'll have you back. And of course, I will have you back and we will talk about it. Again, you are inspiring. You're telling people, yes, you can do it. You don't have to think that, you know, there's any age restriction, there's any restrictions. You can get out there and you can start writing. You get your words on paper. Just that process alone is exciting. And I hope that people will get this book. It's not a very long book, but they will enjoy it. When I looked at the cover, the combination of the biplane and the ship, and it's by Jacob Harvey Redloh, R-E-D-L-O-H, and it's called The Queen's Adventure. It is a fun read. I love a read where you're reading it, and then you go back and you say, yeah, I want to go over that again. I want to understand it. I want to really take it in and get the idea that the author wants me to appreciate. And you've done a wonderful job, Harvey.
And thank you so much for that and for the opportunity to speak with you today. This is just amazing. My work is intended to inspire and to give people the notion that they can do something to make a better tomorrow for themselves. All my poetry has that aspect.
It is so good. Get this book. It's lots of fun to read. And Harvey's going to be back here next year when he has the next book. Then as soon as you have your own website and Facebook and that kind of information, I'll add that, okay?
Very good. And I will add your link to my website so that people know where you are.
Okay. Well, Harvey, it's been a joy to talk to you. I'm just very honored to know you and to promote your book, The Queen's Adventurer. This has been quite an adventure for you.
Oh, hasn't it? And thank you very much, Patsy. Oh. It's wonderful to meet you.
Okay, great to talk to you.
And our audience.
Bye-bye now, Harvey. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.